So welcome. I hope everyone had a good lunch, has had a great week at TechEd. Has it been a good week so far? Yeah? Yeah? Learn a lot of good things? Yep. All right, perfect. So we're in a beautiful small room. You've got easy visibility of the screens. You've got Caitlin and myself. We've got 75 minutes. And please make sure, you know, if you've got a question, raise your hand or call it out. We're happy to answer your questions as we go along. Just a quick thing before we start. Anyone here expecting to hear about Configuration Manager and deploying applications to client computers? No, good. Okay, because we're not going to cover that. I know from MMS and TechEd North America, sometimes App Controller and it falling under Application Management. People think, oh, great, that's all about Configuration Manager and getting apps out to clients. It's not the case. What I'm going to talk about today is deploying services and virtual machines. So I want, before you took 15 minutes to work out, wait, he's not going to talk about client management, I thought I'd give you the chance now. Look at another schedule and go running off and see a different one if you needed to. So my name is Richard Rundle. With me today is Caitlin Galani, and we're going to talk about System Center App Controller. So a couple of things that we're hoping that we can convey and that you get out of the session today is just a basic understanding of App Controller. How many people are familiar with App Controller? Seen it before? Yes, a couple of hands, a couple of folks haven't. So we'll go through, we'll give you an overview of App Controller and what it was built for and what we can do with App Controller. The other thing is App Controller was only released at the start of this year, back in April. But we're already working on a Service Pack 1, so we're going to talk a little bit about what's in Service Pack 1 as well. That's going to come out later this year. It's sort of as part of the support for Windows Server 2012. And then most importantly, especially because this is the second to last session of the conference and straight after lunch, you've taken the time to be here instead of going, oh, let's go to the airport. Yeah, please ask your questions. We're here to answer questions. We'll be outside the session afterwards if we don't cover off any of the questions. So a couple of key takeaways about App Controller. The first is it's part of the System Center 2012 suite. So you may remember at the start of this year, Microsoft changed the licensing for System Center. Instead of buying individual products, you now buy the suite, either as a standard or a data center license. App Controller is just one of those components that you get as part of the suite. So if you've got System Center, App Controller's already there and licensed, and you can start using it. The second key piece of thing to know about App Controller is it's a single console for managing services and virtual machines. So I'm talking about services that you might create for Windows Azure or for Virtual Machine Manager. Did anyone go to Stephen Barron's creating service templates with Virtual Machine Manager? Yeah, a couple of people. So definitely, if you want to find out more about how to create service templates and the power of service templates, once that session is online, go back and watch it online. You can pick either the European one that he's just done, or it's the same session that was done at TechEd North America as well. So those recordings are going to be online. Go back. It's a fantastic session to learn about building service templates. And the last takeaway, and this is really important with the announcements for as we move into Windows Server 2012, is App Controller gives you support for public and private clouds. And so private cloud is obviously something that you may create on-premise with a virtual machine manager. It might be something that's hosted for you by a service provider using Service Provider Foundation in SP1, or it might be a public cloud that a service provider is providing, or it may also be Windows Azure as a public cloud as well. So as you can see, you've got like a very broad choice of clouds for use with App Controller. So quick overview of what we're going to take you through today. One is, what is App Controller? What are the system requirements? We're going to then show you, Caitlin's going to show you how to connect to clouds, all three different types that I mentioned. It's a nice, simple process. We're then going to show you how to deploy and operate the virtual machines that you have through the clouds. Does that sound good? Anything else people would like us to cover? We've got some flexibility if you want us to detour. Sound good? Yeah. Sound good, Damien? All right. So for folks that aren't familiar with App Controller or haven't seen much of it, you may have noticed it in the keynote that was the day one keynote, if you can remember, back to Tuesday. I know it's getting a lot's happened since Tuesday. So Jeff Woolsey, when he was talking about Windows Server 2012 and was talking about Windows being able to deploy virtual machines at a hoster, he actually used App Controller to do part of his demo. It came right after the phenomenal speed test for Windows Server 2012. And then Mark Rusinovich was on a little bit later in the keynote, and he showed actually how to take a virtual machine that you've got on-premise today and how to get it up into Windows Azure. And again, he used App Controller to do those pieces. And I hear that a few other folks have used it in their sessions during the week to help illustrate parts of either Windows Azure or Windows Server as well. We've done it as a self-service portal is probably the key piece. So we realize that a lot of System Center products have been focused for IT administrators, and both App Controller and Service Manager form part of our self-service portal story. So both Service Manager and App Controller are designed for the owners of applications to be able to go through and deploy virtual machines and services. So what you'll see is the functionality is really geared towards those application owners. I spoke about the application focus rather than a server focus. Again, traditionally, a lot of System Center products have had a really strong focus on servers. You know, operations manager managing servers, for example. And then finally, public and private clouds. And I think I've spoken about public and private clouds quite a bit. So let's just sort of visualize that, because I know I've been to a number of conferences and got to speak to a lot of people over the last couple of years, and I still see a lot of confusion around what is cloud and exactly how it all hangs together. So let's do a quick cloud 101 as it relates to App Controller. So we know out there today we've got public and private clouds, and I spoke about private clouds being provided on-premises with VMM and public and private clouds that might be at a service provider or a hoster. Obviously, if your hoster is giving you dedicated capacity, that then becomes your private cloud. It's just an extension of your internal infrastructure. It just happens that it's provided by a hoster. If you're making use of a public cloud from a hoster, that means you're sharing the capacity with other users. It's therefore a public cloud. And then Windows Azure is obviously a public cloud. It's Microsoft's public cloud offering, offers platform as a service, and now infrastructure as a service. So both service providers and on-premise, those private clouds are provided through Virtual Machine Manager. And hopefully everyone understands that Virtual Machine Manager is the one product in the industry that gives you a choice of hypervisor. So Microsoft's Hyper-V naturally, VMware, and also Xen. So you've got your choice of hypervisors for both on-premise and your service provider has a choice of hypervisor as well. Now, what we see is using Virtual Machine Manager, you can create your own clouds. So Vijay at the MMS demo, Vijay Tiwari, one of our program managers, did a really nice demo, created a cloud in under 30 seconds at MMS. And I've had confirmation from someone on the forums, it's definitely possible to create a cloud in under 30 seconds. So creating clouds in Virtual Machine Manager, create one or more clouds and expose it to your self-service users. Similar sort of thing with a service provider. They can create one or more clouds that you can then consume. And for us, for Windows Azure, each Windows Azure subscription is a cloud in the sense of App Controller. It's blurring the definition of a true cloud a little bit, but from the sense of App Controller, we normalize it and it shows there. So you have virtual machines and services running in each of those three clouds, and App Controller sits on top and gives you that single view of all of your virtual machines and services. Is that making sense? That seems reasonable. Questions about that? All right. So what I'd like to do now is actually just give you a quick demo of App Controller. So you can see here, this is my App Controller overview page. I've got information about both my private clouds and public clouds. I can see how many virtual machines that I've currently got used and my quota that's available. So in Virtual Machine Manager, you have quota that's available, and you can see your quota availability here in App Controller. I can also see the number of Windows Azure subscriptions. I can also see a count of my total virtual machines and services. A couple of things we'll call out for you. If you've got virtual machines that aren't running, we'll give you a count up front here so you can see that you've got virtual machines that aren't running. We'll also call out if you've got Windows Azure services with one or fewer instances. Now, for the Windows Azure platform as a service, that's actually kind of a key piece to understand, because the way Windows Azure provides its reliability and availability is it assumes you've got at least two instances for your platform as a service applications. Now, this is not true for the infrastructure as a service. There's different mechanisms in place to provide availability for your infrastructure as a service. But definitely for your platform as a service, having two instances helps you be eligible for the SLA for Windows Azure. So in App Controller, we'll call out any services that may not be able to meet the Windows Azure SLA. The other piece I want to call out is we have a view of clouds. And you can see here that I've got clouds from Windows Azure. I've got clouds from Fabricam Hosting, my hosting company. And I've also got a cloud that's being exposed from my on-premises Virtual Machine Manager server. One thing I'm going to show just quickly here, both for the clouds and the services view, we provide either a more traditional list view as well as the tile view. Now, from within the list view, you can do things like select multiple rows, copy them, paste them out into Excel. You can actually do some personalization of the columns and the information that's shown. One of the things I like to do is actually group items by connection name, because then I can actually see whereabouts my particularly for the services view, where my clouds or services are actually being provided from. And you can see my capacity information that's here as well. So the services view gives an all-up view of services across both the Virtual Machine Manager and Windows Azure. So you can see here I've got one Virtual Machine Manager service and half a dozen Windows Azure services. Similar story here where I've got both a list view and a tile view available to me. I also have the ability to see a diagram for my service. So those of you that are familiar with service templates in Virtual Machine Manager know that they're new in the 2012 release, and they let you specify a multi-tier application as a single unit. So historically with virtual machines, you've had to sort of just mentally or on a whiteboard somewhere or in a spreadsheet, keep track of which virtual machines make up a particular service. With service templates in Virtual Machine Manager, you can actually specify that, and then you can do a deployment and an upgrade of that service as a whole, rather than having to try and coordinate that across multiple virtual machines. And then finally, again, I've got a view of all of my virtual machines. And this includes the virtual machines that are part of a service, as well as virtual machines that aren't part of a service. And again, you can see that the virtual machines are across my hosting provider, on-premise, and also in Windows Azure. So I've got, again, that single view of applications. And they all have this diagram view, even when it's a single instance. And from here within the diagram, I can do my normal virtual machine operations, the start, the stop, the store, etc. And then finally, I've got a library view. And the library view is actually really interesting. So there's three areas that show up here in the library view. One is actually just network shares. So these are any network file shares that you have in your environment. And this is actually a really good way for Windows Azure. If you've got Windows Azure developers and they're building applications in TFS, they can then do a publish from TFS. Now, traditionally, in Visual Studio, your Windows Azure developers, they have the ability to publish straight into Windows Azure, which is great for development environments. It's kind of okay for test environments. For customers that I talk to, scares them to death for doing deployments to production environments. So for production environments, you know, one of the techniques that we can allow you to do for Visual Studio is have your developers publish those the two files. It's a configuration file and a package file. Publish that to a file share. This can be a blessed file share, your definitive software library in ITIL terms, or just a file share of gold bits or blessed bits. And from here within App Controller, once you've got the change approvals in place, an operations person can go ahead and actually make the deployment by doing the copy out of this file share into Windows Azure and then doing the deployment. So it's a really helpful thing. Also quite helpful from a self-service user perspective. We've used it internally. Windows Server 2012 release candidate comes out. And before our admins get a chance to build a service template so we can deploy it, we grab the ISO, put it into a blessed file share, put that into some storage, and then use App Controller to do a deployment, and then mount that ISO into an empty virtual machine, and we can boot from the ISO. So you've got a lot of ways to sort of start to get files both into Azure and App Controller. And Azure is the other key piece as well, because with Windows Azure and the default portal, you're needing to do those copies using a Storage Explorer or something external to the Windows Azure portal. App Controller lets you just drag and drop, you know, sort of a copy and paste right within App Controller here. And then finally, App Controller does actually support more than one virtual machine manager service on-premise. And when you have, if you have more than one, you can then actually start to copy resources from one virtual machine manager server to another virtual machine manager server right here within App Controller. And it's basically on the VMM server, it's doing an export and then an import into Virtual Machine Manager. So the library really starts to be an easy way to start to move files around between your different systems. So that's a quick overview of App Controller. Any questions based on what people have seen there? Good? Yeah. Yeah, really good question. I completely glossed over that. Did you want to cover that as part of connecting to a host, or would you like me to answer it now, Caitlin?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, really good question. I did gloss over it, and unless you're a hoster, it's going to be taken care of for you. But if you are a hoster, then it's going to be really important. So what you're going to need to do on the hoster side is actually be running a Virtual Machine Manager and the service provider foundation that Microsoft's made available as part of CTP2. Once you do that, you're publishing, you're going to see Caitlin do this as part of the connecting to a service provider cloud. You connect an HTTP endpoint, which is actually an OData endpoint, and you go through, add that in App Controller, and App Controller can then go through and see what's made available to you at the service provider or the hoster. Does that cover it, Damien? Lovely. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to pass across to Caitlin, and he's going to talk a little bit about system requirements and connecting up Windows Azure clouds.
Thank you, Richard. So in terms of system requirements, right, App Controller is really simple to install and really simple to get it up and running, right? Even when you saw Richard, you know, all these clouds were there, all these virtual machines were there, and you may be thinking it takes a lot to set up, and I'll just show you that it's not. There's no black magic. It's very simple and easy to set up. So we'll go through that actually pretty quickly. From a requirements perspective, you can see that it's the RTM version that we have currently works on Server 2008 R2, SQL Server 2008 R2 SP1, and then you can see the other requirements where we need the VMM console installed and fairly minimal requirements from a server perspective. For SP1, we will work with 2012 also, so you can actually do 2012 Server 2012 and SQL 2012. So we'll support both of them in there. And what we have installed is CTP2 version in there, so that has the additional capabilities of the service provider, and that's installed in Server 2012. Connecting to clouds. So Virtual Machine Manager, basically, you need to be an administrator for the App Controller, and then you'll be able to connect to a virtual machine manager cloud, and I'll show you how. And also, it's basically you need to have a two-way trust between the app controller server and the VMM server. And we will support, we have tested at least up to 5 VMM servers, so app controller can support up to 5 VMM servers in there. So I think you can go more. It's just that when we tested the scale, I think most it suffices for people to use up to 5 at least. From hosting provider perspective, the way we connect is basically using a management certificate. So basically an enterprise would actually send a management cert over to the hoster, and when the hoster sets up a VMM cloud in their environments for enterprise to use, they will actually need to upload this cert, and then once they upload the cert in the SPF, we'll be doing claims-based authentication for from the enterprise. And you'll see that from the enterprise, I'll be able to use my Active Directory ID and go over to the hosting provider clouds. So that's really powerful, because currently, I think if you think about more from a perspective of hoster, you sign up on a hoster site, then maybe they give you like 5 IDs or 10 IDs that you use, and then you have to manage those IDs to figure out who has access to what. Now we don't have to, from an enterprise perspective. When you connect to a hoster, you just use your regular Active Directory groups, and I'll show you how you can do that. And also the service endpoint is actually a URL. In the other one, the endpoint was more a server for the VMM. In this case, it's a URL because it's based on the web service that's provided by Service Provider Foundation. And for Windows Azure, it's very easy to connect to Windows Azure. All you need is a subscription, basically the management certificate that you have been uploaded to your subscription, and then we upload that subscription, and when we are up and running. And we can pull in all that information very easily into App Controller, and I'll show you how actually you do that very, very simply. Okay, so let's go there. Just want to make sure. And if you have any questions in here, let me know. So, okay. So this was the session. You can see that this is, Richard signed in. Richard had signed in as a self-service user. You don't see any settings page in here. And what I'm going to do is I have a different instance of App Controller running, which just doesn't have anything installed on it, basically. There's no connections. There's no clouds. There's no services. And I'll get all that up and running just like so that it's just like Richard's console there. So now, as you see, I'm actually an administrator, so I see the additional settings page, which is not possible earlier. The first thing I'll do is basically connection to an on-premise cloud. And here I will actually point to a VMM server, which is running on-premise, and it has certain clouds that it will import. And very simply, what you do is just go to connect, go to VMM, and I will just say on-premise, okay, and here. And I give the VMM server name. In this case, the VMM server name is this one. And basically, it'll import the SSL certs if they are there from VMM. And there you go. Hit OK. It'll be able to connect to the on-premise cloud. And actually, I am an administrator on the VMM server, and I have multiple roles in there, and that's why it asks me. I'm a member of multiple roles in there, so that's why it asks me, how do I want to log on to that VMM server? And I'll just say as an administrator. Okay. So you can see that has happened, and you can see the system type connection is VMM. So that's very, very simple just to do that. And if I go to clouds now, you'll see that those clouds coming in from VMM. You see the connection is on-premise, and the clouds are there from VMM in there. So you have two clouds there, engineering and production cloud, and you have that coming in there. So very, very simple, right? You got that in there. Now I'm going to do similar thing for SPF. And SPF is also very simple to do. And this is kind of the power of, from an app controller perspective or for a self-service perspective, right? You set it up and running. No matter where your virtual machines are, no matter where your clouds are, right, you are able to access it from one place. And I'm pretty sure that most of your customers now, how many of you actually have customers or how many of you are actually using services or clouds that are in multiple environments actually right now? So one couple there, two, three, four there. And I think this will become very, very common, right? It's becoming common with the public. It'll becoming very common, especially in Europe when we have talked to. There are so many hosting providers. And partly because, you know, there are laws that allow basically have to have, you know, within the country where you cannot host data outside of the, kind of the European Union. So there are quite strict laws. So, and that's the one reason we have so many hosting providers too. So I'm going to connect to a hosting provider. And before I connect to a hosting provider, I wanted to show, let's just do that. I'll show you as I connect it. And SPF stands for Service Provider Foundation. And I'm going to connect to Fabricam Hosting. And what I'm going to do is here, I'm going to specify, in the earlier you saw it was a URL, it was a server name that was specified. Here, since it's actually this, I don't have to know the server at all, right? The service provider could have multiple VMM servers running, but he'll expose one endpoint for a tenant that I need to connect to. And here, I'm going to connect to that one endpoint. So scdf/vmm03. And I go to the port, particular ports. And this actually follows the OData protocol, which is also very powerful. So I'll just show you, if I just do this here, I'll take the URL, put the URL here. I should get to, I should be able to hit the endpoint URL and I get, you can see I can get the information from the VMM servers there. So, and the same thing I will provide here, and it'll be able to retrieve all this information. All I need to do is provide a certificate. In this case, I have the certificate as, there you go. It's in C drive. There you go. Fabricam hosting cert. Provide the password. What we do is basically the enterprise ships the cert to or sends the cert to the hosting provider with a public key, and then here we have the private key that we use to do the authentication. So you can see now I put this in here, and now immediately as I go to the clouds view again, now you should see additional clouds that are coming in from the hosting provider, right? It's within seconds you get the stuff information in here. And we don't store, we actually do a real-time connection. We don't store some of this information locally. Some of that we have to just from an administrative perspective, but we actually get more of a real-time connection in there. Okay? So here you saw the two clouds, one the gold and the silver. In this case, basically, you have a gold cloud, which is providing a 99.99% SLA, and then you have a silver cloud, which is providing a little lower SLA for availability. So that's how generally you will see that. And now for Azure, as you can, we already have a built-in Azure connection, right? So now what we need to do for Azure is add subscriptions. And here what I do is for Azure, I will actually add subscription. And here I could say, you know, tech ed engineering And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a subscription ID, which is this. And then I pull in a management certificate. So this is the management certificate that has been loaded up on Azure. And I would use the same one. And I'll be able to use a certificate and connect to the Azure subscription. So what this will do again is connect to the Azure subscription. I guess that certificate is not valid. Let me do one thing here. It's probably this. I think it's there. Hold on one second. So that's the password. That's the password I put in there. Maybe my password's not right. Hold on. And what it'll do is basically it'll talk to the Azure through the APIs, go into the Azure, basically to the subscription. It has access only to that subscription with the management cert, and it'll be able to pull in all the services that are running, the hosted services that are running in Azure. So you can see, if I go to clouds here, you should see the additional cloud from the Azure. There you can see that. So within seconds, again, as soon as you add your connection, you can see the stuff coming up within seconds. And now if I go to services, actually, you will see, there you go, some of these Azure clouds that are there. You can see these Azure clouds coming in with all the stuff, you know, how many instance counts is running. You can see the details of that. And also for the virtual machines when they are there in the other environment, you can see all of them. They're running here in different environments. And I can go back here, just set this grouping. I can do it by connection, as Richard specified. Here, and now you can see by I have some VMs running that are in the hosting provider, some VMs that are running in the on-premise, and then you have services that are running in Azure. And once we have, Richard will go through the other stuff on the Azure side where we can move from VMs that are running on-premise to Azure. But again, it's this very powerful capability from a perspective of a self-service user. Here I see all the things. But when a self-service user logs in, we honor the roles that VMM has. And I will just show you a little bit about that on how the user roles work and how we can use our existing Active Directory groups for security to manage access to Azure, manage access to SPF, or manage access to VMM. First of all, for VMM on-premise, you have already set these roles up in VMM server. So what we do is we don't do any of that role management here because it's already there, done by VMM, and we just honor that, right? So you don't have to put any other layers in there. The self-service user, when they log in Active Directory, we honor the roles that they already have in VMM. For service provider, what we have to do for service provider is basically, if you think about service provider, is outside your organization, right? And it'll be, and they have set up this VMM server infrastructure with the SPF on the top with different tenant roles, right? So with CTP2, you will have tenant roles that you can set up for from a service provider perspective, and then you can have multiple tenants there. But when a tenant connects, an enterprise connects to the SPF, they need the ability to say, hey, I just need to make sure that I'm able to still use my Active Directory security groups and map to the appropriate tenant roles that have been set up for me. So that's one additional thing that we do on top of SPF, because this is just making sure that you're able to use your existing Active Directory groups in there. For Azure, Azure doesn't have, and most of you know that Azure doesn't have role-based management right now, right? And when AppController came out, right, we were surprised that one of the reasons people were using AppController was, hey, it provides role-based access. You can actually have role-based access with AppController, so you can use your Active Directory security groups and then provide appropriate access to the users to the appropriate subscriptions. So we'll see that here. Here I can do a new user role, and I will just say right now engineering. Okay. And I can add any members, and here I can add any Active Directory group or any Active Directory user. I can add any of these groups here. So I can add. I added a user. I can even add an Active Directory group in here. Now, scope, you can think about more from a scope perspective. The scope, you see that now I have an Azure subscription that I've added. I can add that to the scope. If I had multiple subscriptions, I can select one or more subscriptions in here, right? Say there was a test subscription, but engineering, I didn't want to give a test subscription to that, right? Or there was a production subscription. I don't want to give access to some of the users there. That's why I would do that. Then the additional one you see is Fabric I'm hosting. And this showed up because I actually added a connection to the hoster. So what happens is basically when you connect to the hoster, it'll bring in the tenant roles and the self-service user roles that tenant that has been set up at the hoster. And that what we do is we just map them to that here. So here I'll be able to say map this here to say the test SSU. That only for test purpose, we had only one tenant role, self-service user role that was set up. Again, this is CDP2, so that's why there's some of these, the amount of data that's there is limited, but I think this will get better as we go to switch to beta. So this is how easy it is to set up App Controller and to get everything up and running. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, it'll be on the side of the VMM. Because the thing is that people have already invested in setting up their VMM servers with the appropriate clouds and the self-service users. What we do from an app controller perspective, just honor that. Because otherwise, what happens is that if you create two-way, then it creates a problem. In case of Azure and service provider, there is no other access provided in this way. It's just one place to manage it. Are you guys excited about this? Are you guys going to use it? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I like to hear yeses. Okay. So so that actually is concludes the stuff that I was going to do. Let me see if there was anything else on the slide. Actually, let me just go through the slide a little bit. I went ahead of a little bit myself. But yes. Good question. That actually we don't provide right now.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things we don't provide right now is actually moving templates across. Say, for example, if I want to upload templates to the service provider, we don't have a way right now to move that across HTTP. Basically, what we had prioritized is to make sure that we prioritize the connections to the app control. To the service provider. May be able to launch VMs. A lot of service providers actually have their own templates that they provide to the customer. So we plan to use that for our SP1. And then as we mature in this capability, we'll be able to do that. So I've got a little bit ahead of myself, but you know, this is basically just explains the access that we actually provide. And I was able to show all that stuff to you. But if you have any questions, let me know. But I think this is great from... just seeing it that we can set it up in seconds is great. I'm going to hand it over to Richard, which will now use the clouds that we have set up to deploy and operate VMs.
Great. Thanks, Ken. So you've seen the configuration. We've literally in 15 or so minutes, if people have been keeping track, got App Controller all up and running. For MMS this year, we actually, as part of this session, walked through setup as well. So we can literally walk through setup and configuration of App Controller and demo App Controller all in kind of an hour time frame. So definitely, you know, if Monday morning when you're back in the office, get the 10 meg of app controller, throw it into a VM, get it up and running, 15 minutes later, bang, you can have all of this. The other piece that we've done for app controller is we've focused on a really common experience. And you saw that with the way the interface Caton had for adding the connections was all very similar. It didn't matter that there were three very different types of connections. The experience was very similar. And we extend that for both virtual machine management and service management as well, irrespective of where it's occurring. So even though Azure Platform as a Service is very different from an on-premise VM, the interface that we have for deploying and then doing that management is very similar. So it gives you that seamless experience. So I'm going to show you that, and it's consistent even for the virtual machine role in the Azure IIS as well. So let me go back to our nice fully configured me logged in as me session as the self-service user. So you can see I can't do the configuration work that Caton did. So let's start with the bread and butter for a self-service portal for virtual machine management. We're just going to go and deploy a virtual machine to our on-premise virtual machine manager server. So you can see I can pick from my available clouds. The quota information comes back. If I don't have enough quota, it's going to tell me, and it's actually going to block me at this stage. I've still got plenty of space, though. I've got 9 virtual machines I can create and 69 gig of storage. So now I can choose a template, and these are all of the templates that the Virtual Machine Manager Administrator has made available, both virtual machine templates and also service templates. So for this one, I just want to pick the Virtual Machine Manager template. Now, if I tried to pick this Windows Server 2012 template, you can see that the disk space required for this is 127 gig. I'm 58 gig of storage quota short to be able to deploy this template. So it actually warns me, tells me that I don't quite have enough room. I can go into Service Manager, send a request to my administrator and say, please, I want some more storage so I can deploy this Windows Server 8. Or I could go and delete some of my other virtual machines and free up storage so that I was able to do that. So if I pick Server 2008 R2, you can see this has just got a single network configuration. I can come in here and give this a name for the computer. You can see the operating system that's set in the template. You can see this is using dynamic memory, so it's going to start with 512 meg of memory, but could use up to 4 gig of memory. And then I'm going to set an administrative password so that I can log in once I'm there. If I've got some other custom fields for cost center or a general tag, I can set that as well. If I've got multiple networks to choose from, I can choose my networking, whether to use a static MAC address or a static IP address. Now, hopefully a question that I know some of you have already asked me, so I don't expect you to ask me again, but there should be a question that some other folks here in the room have. Anyone want to take the question, or should I ask myself? All right. So the question that I've heard a couple of times already prior to this session and also on the forums is about, you know, in Virtual Machine Manager, if you open up the console, you can actually set the hardware profile yourself. Today in App Controller, we don't allow you to do that. I do encourage you, if you think that's an important feature, we had that conversation beforehand. If you're part of the TAP, log it and vote for it as part of our TAP. If you're not on the forum thread, go and vote for it on the forum. I'm going to take this feedback that I've gotten here in Amsterdam this week back to the product team to sort of say, I heard from a lot of people that they want to do this, but definitely the forums and the Connect is a great way to reinforce that it wasn't just me making up some stuff, that there were a number of you that wanted to do that. So I encourage you, if that's important to you, to go and vote or add to that thread in the forum, because currently today we do rely on just the virtual templates that are there. And the reason for that, and I know when I was explaining this earlier, I could see that it wasn't resonating. You weren't agreeing with my explanation, were you? You were like, it doesn't make sense. But the rationale we had originally was that, remember when we used to buy servers and each machine, each application really got deployed onto a physical server? And we worked out that if we went to Dell and HP and our hardware provider and said, oh, actually, rather than just doing specific configuration for each application, could we get a better price if we actually said, what if we just buy these types of servers? You know, web servers with 2 gig of memory and 120 gig of disk space, and SQL servers with 8 gig of memory and X amount of disk space. So we sort of expect something similar to happen with virtual machine templates, is that you start to standardize the offering around virtual machine templates so that people are picking from standardized offerings. What I'm hearing from a number of people this week and previous weeks is that's not really, like, you don't want to create that many templates. It's a lot of templates to create, and it's really not the way you're running your business at the moment. So I'm going to go ahead, and that's just going to go in and deploy. So nice, simple, self-service deployment of a virtual machine. So that's right there. That's in the RTM version. The next thing I want to do is deploy a service into Windows Azure. And you can see we go through the same flow. This time I'm going to pick my Windows Azure cloud. And Windows Azure, certainly for its platform as a service, and that's what the RTM version supports, is the platform as a service. The way that service configuration is specified is via two files, a configuration file and a package file, and that's created in Visual Studio. So to deploy it, what I need to do is to go and find a configuration file and a package file. I'm going to pick Drupal. This might be an application that folks are familiar with. And you can see I've picked the configuration file, so it already starts to know what the structure of the application looks like. Windows Azure applications get deployed into a hosted service. So I'm going to find a hosted service to try and deploy this into. Let's find out if we can put it into here. I can give this a and then for Windows Azure, they have a rolling way to keep operating system updates flowing through, and so you can pick currently one of two base operating system images for your platform. One is based on Windows Server 2008 SP2. The other one is based on Windows Server 2008 R2. And they look very similar in the list, I know, just coincidental. We do recommend that you pick one of the two families of operating systems rather than a specific one, because that way Azure can do maintenance and they will actually automatically refresh and upgrade the underlying operating system. If for some reason you have an application that really needs a particular version of the Azure operating system, you can actually go through and pick a specific operating system release version here. I'm going to pick Server 2008 R2. I've already got something deployed into the production environment, so I can only deploy this into the staging environment. So I'm going to go ahead and deploy this into the staging environment. I still need to give it the package file. So we'll go back in. The Storage Explorer is going to remember where I was. Now I can pick the package file. And now I can go through and do a deploy. So you can see whether I'm deploying into Windows Azure or a Virtual Machine Manager, the deployment process is actually very, very similar. And this continues for the enhancements in Service Pack 1. So in Service Pack 1, we do virtual machine deployments to a cloud at a service provider, and we also do deployments of a virtual machine into Windows Azure. So let me go and have a look at the service provider one first. So this time I can choose my gold cloud for Fabricam hosting. I can now see the templates that that Fabricam Hosting have made available for me to use. They just have the one. It's a Windows 2008 R2 image. And again, this is pretty much identical to the Virtual Machine Manager on-premise experience. same set of options. Again, set a password so I can log in. And I can see the networking that's available at the host. Click OK. Everything's configured. Click deploy. Bang. I've now got my deployment of a virtual machine at a service provider off and running. So the next thing I want to do is to deploy a virtual machine into Windows Azure IIS. And this should start to look really familiar by now. Is this starting to look really familiar by now? Yeah. Pick engineering. So we're going into Windows Azure. And this time, if I have a look at the images that I've got available, I have Windows Server 2012 release candidate. I'm going to pick an existing hosted service. If I needed to create a new hosted service, I can actually do that as part of this process as well. Hosted services just provide a unique URL for applications to use, and so at the moment with Windows Azure, they all start with a prefix and then .cloudapp.net. The way you get one of those URLs is you create a hosted service. You can see what I'm actually, and this is interesting, because what I'm doing here is I'm adding my virtual machine to an existing deployment that's already got two existing virtual machines in it. So it's not a matter of just having one virtual machine per hosted service in Windows Azure. It's possible to do more. Let's give it, you'll notice I have a theme for naming as well. Instance sizes map to the size of Azure VMs, and obviously with Windows Azure, you're paying for the amount of storage you use and the compute size that you use and the number of transactions that you have against it. So choosing an extra small instance size is going to be a cheaper virtual machine to run than choosing an extra large virtual machine now. But Azure does give you that flexibility for effectively what is a scale-up, you know, choosing how big the hardware the virtual machine goes into. Let's pick a container for this to go into. And then if my virtual machine has data disks as well as the main disk, I can go through and add additional data disks. They will all go through and get deployed as part of the deployment. And then once again, set a password. Reset password at first login. And this is true for both the platform as a service virtual Azure deployments and also the virtual machines into Windows Azure. You can actually remote desktop into them. And if you've got a Windows Azure subscription, then it's kind of interesting to go and have a look at the platform as a service instance and remote desktop into that. It looks exactly like Windows Server 2008 or Server 2008 R2, just with some bits taken out that they don't need. So if you go and look for Windows Update, for example, Windows Update is not in the image, and so you kind of don't see that as part of the image. Now, who's got an MSDN subscription? A lot of folks have got MSDN subscriptions. Hopefully you realize that your MSDN subscription actually comes with Azure usage rights, so an Azure subscription is associated with that. So definitely if you want to go and play with App Controller, but you're like, oh, wait, I don't have an Azure subscription, your MSDN subscription is a great subscription to use and to start experimenting with. App Controller is also really good at, you know, collecting all of the MSDN subscriptions that you've got in an environment and managing access to all of those subscriptions. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do that deployment. So now I've got all of my deployments either underway or they've recently finished. You may have noticed that the yellow bar at the bottom of the screen has been updating as I'm starting deployments and deployments are finishing. Because I've got so much going on at the moment, I'm just going to have a quick look at the jobs view, and I can see, my Windows Azure Virtual Machine deployment has failed, and I can actually start to see some information about why it failed. Password wasn't complex enough, so I can go back and resubmit that to do a deployment there. I can see my hosting provider one is currently in progress. It's about 33% done. My Drupal deployment into Windows Azure completed in just over 2 minutes. And that's something the Windows Azure team have worked really hard on over the last little bit, is making deployments into Windows Azure even faster. And you can see that my virtual machine deployment is almost complete as well. So that's 95% complete. Now, the other really nice thing with App Controller, you can see here that I'm logged in as a self-service user, and these are just showing me all of my jobs. Now, because we're using Active Directory users and groups to control access to Azure and both the Service Provider Foundation, if I pretend to be Caden for a moment and go and have a look at his jobs view, because he is an administrator, he's actually seeing jobs for not just himself, but for everyone. And so it provides a really nice way to start to do some auditing or at least capture what's happening in an environment. If you use Azure today with a shared live ID, you start to lose any tracking of who's doing what in the system. And so App Controller can help you get a little bit of control around what change is actually being made to your environment. Who did an deployment? Who did a scale out? Who turned this thing off? You know, it all turns up in App Controller, as long as the changes are done within App Controller. If someone goes direct into Windows Azure using the live ID and turns something off, App Controller is not going to see that, not going to be able to report that for you. All right, so deployment, four different types, all very similar. I've probably all blurred into one for you. But the key takeaway is that it's the same process for doing those deployments. So the other cool thing is, and Mark Rasinovich showed this in the keynote. Everyone see the keynote first day of the conference? Yep. Everyone liked Mark Rasinovich's keynote? Part of the keynote? Yeah? Yep. All right. I liked it because he used my product. So Mark showed the migration of a virtual machine from on-premise into VMM. And since you've all seen it, we'll sort of skip through it a little bit. But it is a fun thing to show. And it is a really key feature of SP1. That was one thing that we heard over the last sort of year that we've been showing people App Controller, is they really wanted to be able to start to take a virtual machine that they had running on-premise and get it up into Windows Azure. And we always sort of said, well, it's kind of different. They can't be done at the moment. SP1, that goes away. You can take your virtual machine that's on-premise and send it up to Windows Azure. So because I've got a little bit longer than Mark and don't have as much to and don't have a lot of other things to cover like Mark did, what I can do is I can tell you some of the things you need to know about how to make this happen. So the first thing is, before you move your virtual machine to Windows Azure, you need to have it stored into the library on your Virtual Machine Manager server. So for example, if I take this running virtual machine and right-click on it, you can sort of see the tasks. Oh, sorry, thank you. Now you can see. My bad. All right. So you can see the tasks for this virtual machine don't include a migrate option. And that's because this virtual machine is currently running. Even this virtual machine that's currently shut down still doesn't have a migrate option. It's only going to be this virtual machine that is currently stored that I then get the migrate option. So there's the first tip for you. If you want to migrate the virtual machine to Azure, so now the next thing you're going to say is, I want to do live migration to Azure. We don't have that, but bear with us at the moment. The data transfer times for virtual machines up into Windows Azure, I mean, it's going across your internet pipe and into the public internet and up into Windows Azure, so you're going to be gated really on your upload speeds into Windows Azure at that point. But here, once it's stored into VMM, I can do a migrate. And this is going to look very, very similar to the deployment process we had before. We know that you can only do the migrate to Windows Azure, so we only show you the Windows Azure subscriptions that you've got. And again, I can choose my Windows Azure hosted service. I can then go through and do any configuration that I need to do. go through, find the hard disk that I need to migrate, and the place to upload the disk to. If I've got an existing disk, I can choose to override it. Again, if I've got data disks, I can I'll have the data disk specified, and then I can just go through and do the deploy into Windows Azure. I'm not going to click deploy on this one, partly because what it then initiates is a multi-hour, and even in for North America, I think the process took about 12 hours to kick off. Pretty sure none of you are going to be here in 12 hours' time to see if it actually goes all the way through, but it will. Yeah, that's the process that's going to kick off. So questions about the migrate or any of the deployments? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, the networking choice. That's actually a really good question, because that then opens up the conversation of some of the things you need to do for doing the network configuration. So Windows Azure has Windows Azure Connect as its networking component, and before you go ahead and migrate your virtual machine to Azure, you will want to start to set up the Windows Azure Connect so that when your virtual machine arrives back arrives in Windows Azure, it has visibility into the network and can... Yeah, particularly if you're expecting it to talk back to Active Directory on-premise, talk to other computers that are in your environment, you're going to want the Azure Connect networking configured. And you'll do that outside of App Controller. You'll do that within the Windows Azure Windows Azure portal.
And with SP1, I think we will have in the... This is CDP2 version, where we will have some of the networking configuration exposed into the App Controller also.
Cool. Excellent question. Excellent question. Mm-hmm. All right, so migrate virtual machines to Windows Azure. And that brings us, in just over an hour, to sort of the end of what we were going to show today. Has that answered people's questions about App Controller? Was there more that you wanted to see? Things that we didn't really touch on that you were hoping we would? Excellent, excellent question. So, not currently. So yeah. I mean, one step at a time. So at the moment, App Controller doesn't have the functionality to do a store to library and then migrate into a service provider hosted cloud. But yeah, that's definitely. I could see that being a valuable feature. So,
did you guys? Get a good understanding of App Controller. I mean, only a couple were familiar, or very few were familiar with App Controller, but now do you have a good understanding?
Sure.
Yep. Is there anything planned regarding integration of Orchestrator or Runbooks into App Controller? Because I think that could be another use case that you want to give self-service access to Runbooks from Orchestrator.
Okay. So, I'll make you privy to kind of the little checklist of things that I'm keeping track of here. So one of them was, being able to configure virtual machines. Who else would like to do Runbook integration? Yeah, Runbook integration. Okay. It's definitely a feature request we've heard. It's not currently in the SP1 version, but it's always good to get feedback. Damien? Dealing with the
actual job logs.
Job logs. What would you like to be able to do with the...
process query, exports, and stuff like that.
Just be able to query the...
Possibly,
get a, like a... Orchestrator. So basically do a get of the contents of the logs.
Sure.
We should... If we don't have that, that's our bad. Okay. Okay, that's definitely our bad. So as part of our engineering process, doing PowerShell support for everything that's in the UI is one of the things that we're supposed to have in our products. So the fact that getting jobs is not working for you is not good. Now, a quick note on PowerShell, because it is worth talking a little bit about PowerShell and automation. App Controller is largely a piece of UI. if you're looking to do integration and automation with Virtual Machine Manager and Windows Azure, because of what's shown in App Controller as a subset of both of those products, for integration, we strongly urge you to use the VMM PowerShell API. The App Controller PowerShell API has 20-something commandlets. The VMM PowerShell API has 400-something commandlets. So you can kind of see that you've got a lot richer control of Virtual Machine Manager if you're going direct to Virtual Machine Manager for your integration. And then similar to for Windows Azure, we expose a small area of the Service Management API for Windows Azure. So if you're looking to do automation against Windows Azure, we encourage you to get the either the PowerShell API integration for direct for Windows Azure rather than trying to funnel it all through App Controller. So definitely, if you want to add new subscriptions in or even script the adding of a connection into App Controller, you can do both of those using our PowerShell. Basically, the actions that Caton showed in the settings area, creating user roles, adding subscriptions, adding VMM connections, adding a service provider, can all happen through PowerShell.
All the administrative functions have been exposed through PowerShell.
Yeah, another question.
How can they roll back? Okay.
So, that's good question. How do you roll back if you've done certainly we let you delete things you've created, but related to that, what? Give me an example of a rollback you'd like to do. Okay. We can definitely. We've spoken a lot about getting stuff into Azure, but you can show what I was going to have to do after the session was over, which is really start to come in and have a look at my... Let's have a look. So TechEd Europe Hosting, I think that was one I created. But I can definitely go through and delete... Okay. Yeah, that as I was looking through that list, that was on my list. It was on my concerns. But certainly, look at a task and look at a way to roll back and sort of say undo. Wait, that wasn't what I wanted to do. That's good feedback. Thank you.
Any other aspects from a self-service perspective that you think that we should integrate with other System Center products or? Snapshots, actually.
Yep. Sorry. Let me go have a let me show you that. So, I've got this virtual machine. It's part of a service, but I can actually come in and as part of the properties of a virtual machine, you can see
checkpoints.
That I've got checkpoints. So I can go ahead and actually create a checkpoint, and sort of create that checkpoint that's going to do a checkpoint. And then if I had created checkpoints, I could go back and do a rollback of the checkpoint as well.
And this will be available for virtual machines in service provider as well as in on-premise. Probably in Azure too, right? I don't know about Azure.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out about Azure, but definitely on the... I think on Azure also we'll be able to provide checkpoints. But we'll confirm that.
Okay, it's too late for you to go to any of the related content sessions, but when you are looking at TechEd online and looking for content related to App Controller, here's a couple of key pointers. I know some of you already went to Stephen Barron's Creating Service Templates. He does a fantastic job of explaining service templates and the value you can get from service templates, so I highly recommend his service templates ones. And then there's a couple of additional overview, sort of application management and public-private cloud sessions. You may have some time to run off and do a hands-on lab if you haven't already been overwhelmed by content here today. And there's also, there is actually a certification. So I don't know if people have heard, there is a Microsoft Private Cloud certification that includes App Controller content. So if you're looking to an MCSE for private cloud, there is a certification for private cloud that includes App Controller, Windows Server 2012 and the System Center 2012 suite. Normal management track resources. Everyone's probably seen this slide, or at least probably seen a chunk of time. Yeah, haven't seen this yet? If you haven't seen this one, then you definitely haven't seen this one. The one piece of advice I've been asked to pass on is when doing evals, A, please do the evals, and higher scores are good, low scores are bad. So if we thought if you thought we did a terrible job, a small number. If you thought we did a great job, a high number. So apparently there were some people that were confused and thought that low was good and bad, five was bad. So actually, no. It's taken me till Friday, but finally I've got to present a session. So yeah, not speaking from experience, but we did get an email to sort of say, hey. When doing evals, five is good.
Clarify.
One is bad. So please do your evals. I think the network has finally managed to stay up after the flakiness earlier in the week, so it gives you a chance to actually do the evals now. I do apologize for the networking being the way it has. So Okay. Thank you. I hope you've had a wonderful week here in Amsterdam. We really appreciate the time you've come and spent with us. As I said, we are going to be outside to ask any questions. Ask questions? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's do that. We'll ask the questions. You can give us the answers.
Certainly have a lot.
Yeah. Or we'll do it the more traditional way. You can ask us the questions, and we'll hopefully have the answers. So, again, thank you very much for your time today, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.